Hey, short message tonight. I want you to open your Bibles to Jude, please. Now that should give you a clue what we're going to talk about. The book of Jude. The book of Jude. The last book before the book of Revelation. Very important book, which not many people read. You just read it?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Well, you'll be up to date with it, Andy. We're going to talk about something in Jude tonight that's important. And the title of my message tonight is The Important and the Urgent. The Important and the Urgent. And it's in Jude. Our scripture tonight will be Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter in the book of Jude. But verses 3 to 4. All right. So Jude verses 3 to 4 says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight to see something important out of this day, and something urgent. Thank you, Lord, for this small group of people here tonight, Lord, that have come out faithfully to pray and to fellowship together, Lord, and to hear your word preached too, Lord, and sing hymns to you, and just be a church, Lord, and fellowship together. We thank you, Lord, for each one, and as we look at this this very important topic in the book of Jude, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will help us to understand the truths of the of what you want us to learn from the scriptures tonight, Lord. And bless each one for coming. Bless their ears as they hear and their hearts as they receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our scripture tonight, we see that originally Jude had diligently purposed in his heart to write a letter to the Christians concerning the important and wonderful truths of the common salvation that all believers share. He showed that he had a genuine attitude of love for his brethren. And his use of the word beloved at the beginning of the verse, of verse 3, reveals just how much he truly cared for the spiritual welfare of his brothers and sisters in Christ. They were his beloved brothers and sisters. And he loved them enough to do what he did. Amen. The Holy Spirit, some people think, oh, love is not telling the truth. Don't tell them the truth, you might hurt their feelings. No, we've got to show love by the things that we do. We're supposed to love the brethren and make sure, if you're in leadership and a teacher in the church, you need to make sure that those people are safe, right? Sometimes when you're trying to make people safe, they don't want to be safe sometimes. But we in this church want our people to be safe, and God wants us to be safe too. Anyhow, he wanted to talk about the important and wonderful truth of common salvation. The Holy Spirit, however, impressed upon Jude the urgent need to write and exhort the believers to earnestly contend for the faith. Right? He wanted to write about the common salvation, but the Holy Spirit put it on him to write to the believers to earnestly contend for the faith. Apostasy had already infiltrated the church, and a warning about false teachers was more important to him than an explanation concerning the gospel message. Wow. Today, many professing Christian groups promote ecumenical evangelism programs, seemingly ignorant of the truth that holiness and separation from unbelief are just as important to God as the preaching of the gospel. Did you think that would be true? God never endorses the disobedience of joining with those who do not believe or obey his word for the sake of saving the lost. In Romans 6:1, Paul asks the questions, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? His response is in verse 2, where he emphatically declares, God forbid. No, we will not continue in sin that grace may abound. We will not get involved with people that preach false gospels to try and get people saved and come to church. According to Jude, the defense of the gospel, when it was under attack by those within the church, was more urgent than an important discussion about the amazing things to do with the gospel and our salvation. Jude commands believers in all ages to earnestly contend for the faith. In other words, God directs us to diligently contend or battle for the truth that is revealed in the Scriptures and delivered into the hands of the church for its stewardship and protection. God has delivered His Word into our hand for its stewardship and protection. The unadulterated purity of the Scriptures is important to God. It's very important to God that His Scriptures remain pure. But is it important to us? That's the question we need to ask. Is it important to us? The Apostle Paul reinforces Jude's exhortation of our responsibility as professors of the Christian faith to contend earnestly for the protection of the Scriptures' doctrinal purity. He says in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." So, here it says here, Paul says, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ." Yeah, he was an apostle, and we are ministers of Christ too, even people that don't get in the pulpit and teach, because we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So, we are ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. What mysteries of God? His Word. And he says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards, us, that a man be found faithful." God is looking for faithful stewards that will look after His Word and defend it, earnestly contend for it. Every Christian is to be a faithful steward of the Word of God and to be counted as responsible for its protection. Even you. Everybody. Right? Young people, old people, if you're a Christian, you've got to protect the Word of God. Stand for it. Jude says that our defense is to be for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Hey, it wasn't delivered only to Paul the Apostle, wasn't delivered only to pastors and teachers and evangelists, it has been delivered unto the saints. Are you a saint? It's been delivered to you. If you are a Christian, it has been delivered to you. It's been delivered unto me. We are responsible then to defend it. The book of Jude clearly identifies who it is, in this instance at any rate, that we are to defend the faith against. Who is it that we defend the faith against? In verse 4, he says that it's against ungodly men, apostates who crept into the church unawares to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness and who deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice how the apostates enter into the church in Jude's day, how they entered in? It says they crept in. They crept in. They came in secretly, and they didn't come in like, you know, sneak in so we couldn't see them. No, they crept in as though they were normal. You see, they came in secretly meaning that they brought with them stuff that we didn't agree with, and it came in secretly. And they blended themselves with the congregation. And herein lies a very important warning for us today. The members of the church would have exposed these intruders as apostates and heretics if they had outwardly manifested themselves to be evil men who abused the grace of God and denied the Lord Jesus Christ. They would have. If we'd known, if somebody walks in here and, oh, he's coming in here to deceive us, we'd jump on it, all right? It's this subtle entrance into the church that makes their presence among them all the more dangerous. They come in and the people think they're okay, you see. The same is true today. False brethren can quite easily enter into the church because of their false doctrine, because their false doctrine is always mixed with truth. Their teaching and intentions appear to be harmless and acceptable to any undiscerning church members. And next thing you know, the person has been welcomed into their fellowship, and then he gains increased liberty to talk and spread his beliefs. That's how it works. We get people come in here, they get all friendly with us, and next thing, they're not only talking to somebody that's got discernment, they're talking to everybody, and then they get on your ear and start telling you things that are contrary to what's being taught here. Be careful. Don't hug up to everybody that comes in the door, even if they've been here a couple of months. Right? Be careful. I'm telling you, be careful. Some of you might remember me sharing the quote that was made by one of the church fathers around 200 AD. He wrote, this church father around 200 AD, he wrote, "Error indeed is never set forth in its naked deformity." We're talking about people bringing things in secretly, you see, by stealth. "Error indeed is never set forth in its naked deformity, lest being thus exposed, it should at once be detected. but it is craftily decked out in an attractive dress, so as by its outward form to make it appear to the inexperienced more truth than truth itself. That's how apostasy and error works. You think, oh, he's preaching good stuff. And next thing you know, hang on, that doesn't agree with the Bible. Doesn't agree with the Bible. Heresy is never presented openly as error. It is actually presented as truth, with small doses of error mixed with it. The point that this church father was making was that the devil never comes waving a sign announcing that he is the devil coming to deceive you. He doesn't work like that. He comes attractively dressed to look harmless. What did Paul warn in 2 Corinthians 11, 13 and 15? He said, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. They look like they're good. The devil looks like an angel of light. He can appear as an angel of light. And these false teachers can appear as good teachers. We need to be careful. How can we tell whether they're true or false? I'll tell you how. We've got to know the Word of God. The more you know the Word of God, the safer you'll be. The more you read and study the Word of God, the quicker you'll be able to detect when somebody comes in here and is not fair dinkum. Amen? We've had a little bit of experience, Colleen and I, and Andy now too, and a few of you others here. We've had experience. And as we go down this road with God, it gets easier to detect who's sneaking up on us and who isn't. You see? With Pentecostals and Charismatics, I can smell them. I can walk along the Esplanade of a morning and tell you who's a Pentecostal. That lady's a Pentecostal. And you'd stop them and talk with them. Oh, yeah, I'll go to the AOG. Yeah, I thought so. You can tell. So the more you mix in that sort of thing, and the more you know the Word of God, the easier it becomes for you to detect truth and error. And that applies with people too. So Jude told the Christians not to be surprised about this infiltration, because it had already been prophesied that it would enter the church and endanger the saints. He'd already been prophesied. Verse 4 tells us that these men were before of old ordained to this condemnation. And yet the sad situation in Jude's day was only the beginning of an apostasy that would plague the church through the ages until today. Scripture reminds us that in these last days the apostasy will grow greater. Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And much of the professing church will end up in the one world religious system of the Great Tribulation as prophesied in Revelation 17 and 18. Christians like to talk about the Great Commission. The Great Commission. You hear about the Great Commission, eh? You know what the Great Commission is? Yeah, Christians like to talk about the Great Commission, which is to go and preach the gospel to every creature. That phrase, the Great Commission, is not actually found in the Bible, though. You won't find that in the Bible, the Great Commission, not there. But there's no problem with that, because we all know Trinity's not in there either, is it? Okay, so there's no problem with that. But just think about that. The Great Commission is not mentioned in the Bible. But there are more than one Great Commission in Scripture which we are to obey. They only think there's one. There's plenty of them. To earnestly contend for the faith is one of them. That's a commission from God. Unfortunately, many times it gets neglected for the sake of taking the gospel to the lost. They think, oh no, we don't talk about hard things, you see. You put the people off. We don't want to talk about all the, there's people coming in the church trying to split the place. Don't mention all that. Just tell people God loves you and bring them to the church, alright? Due to the spiritual danger involved, faithful pastors and Bible teachers must constantly remind the saints to not only go into all the world and preach the gospel, which is extremely important, but also to earnestly contend for the protection and purity of the faith that was once delivered to the saints, to you and to me, which in these perilous days is extremely urgent. Let's not follow the important things to keep us from doing the urgent things. We need to do both. Amen? We need to go into the world and preach the gospel, but we also need to defend the faith. And don't get mixed up in this ecumenical thing. We've got to reach the world for the lost with the scriptures or with the gospel and get joining up with ecumenical groups. Amen. We could get involved with this Cairns Christian Ministers Network. They want us to. They want us to get every church in Cairns should be mixed up with them. We should all be in unity. No way, Jose. They believe that baptism saves. Forgive sins, you see. We don't believe that, and neither does the Bible. Amen. Let's pray and close the service. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you for this short, sharp, and sweet word from your Bible, Lord, instructing us to defend the faith, Lord, to stand up and fight for the protection of your word, Lord, and for the safety of the Christians, Lord. So we thank you for this group, small group of people, Lord, that have been here tonight. And we pray, Lord, that you bless us as we go our separate ways now back out into the world, Lord. Help us to shine as lights in a very dark and evil place. And, Lord, we do pray that you give us opportunities, Lord, to witness to people with the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.